I think you've continued to work very efficiently and very collaboratively on a basis. And today we felt good to kind of get one step closer so that the morning of the 30th, we should complete this phase, the sort of recount the number phase, leaving the only two issues outstanding. The question of allocation of the property would take that to ballots and then whatever the Supreme Court might also decide. So I'll quit there and just take any questions, and any questions from folks on the phone, if you want to hang on, I'll get to you again.
Once this reconciliation is done by December 30th, do you expect that 48 number to change dramatically? The Coleman campaign seems to think that it will. There were a lot of errors they claimed that
I
went against their views or horse race.
So I have no way to answer your question.
Well, but do you expect there to be a number of changes regardless of the horse race? Do you expect there to be the reconciliation to be a lot of corrections?
I consider that our staff has done very careful work, but I also consider that the campaigns are doing very careful work, so it'll be very interesting to see when we compare those how it works out. But I don't have any way to prejudge it because I myself haven't looked at them. So I think we'll be able to meet with the campaigns and start to get those pretty close soon, but I don't know the answer to your question. The two campaigns and our office and some of the local election officials have made a filing with the court this morning to ask them to make some changes in their order that will help us to better protect the privacy of the individual voters. And that the kind of guts of that is that they would come to our office by the 2nd of January, and we would do the opening and the counting and allocation. The challenges that would be made, all of those would happen in our office, and so they would be a single group instead of being allocated by precincts. And so we feel really great that the campaigns in our office and the local officials have come to that agreement. That gives us, if the Supreme Court accepts that, that it gives us a framework and we'll move forward pretty quickly. So that's very good momentum for us in terms of getting this done. We don't know what the total number will be or how many challenges there will be made to the decisions that are made with this allocation, but whatever they are, we'll start tackling those challenges in the afternoon of the 5th. We'll continue them on the 6th, but hopefully we'll be able to get that.
Do you have a better definition of what
any ballot from a ballot in the sort of order that was not rejected properly for the four statutory
documents? Is your office estimate of about 1,600, is that still roughly accurate, or do you think it's smaller?
I haven't seen any indication that the 13% average number is not correct, but we don't really have a way to know. We'll eventually get down to us, but we are expecting it in that range.
Well, how many do you physically?
Oh, I don't know. This is the counties. This is the order of the court is that the counties make this determination initially, and then they and the campaigns agree on which ones will eventually come to us. And we won't know that until the second when they run.
Some have.
So, you know, I can't speak for the county.
And so filing that request not only was done to protect the privacy issue, but it also extends the deadline, I assume, because the court initially needed to determine the first deadline.
But yeah, it doesn't really extend our deadline because they weren't coming to us until the 31st. So we didn't really have our office didn't have a deadline. The town did. But the privacy issue was raised by everybody, even the bigger counties. So we felt like this was very important.
Is it almost certain that there's not going to be a winner certified by January 6th when they're supposed to be sworn in? Is that even a consideration?
I have no way to predict the future or the activities of the state campus board.
But is that a consideration at all in your timeline?
No, absolutely not a consideration. I didn't have until November of 2010 personally.
So this is going into the 5th, at least.
That leaves the 6th. We've scheduled 2 to 5:30 both days.
With the way it's going and the January 2nd date to review these things, what would you realistically anticipate going through with your work?
Three things that we can't predict will determine that. One of them, does the Supreme Court act on today or is in any subsequent day on something that requires more work? Second, the number of the absentee ballots that are wrongly detected that come to us. And third, the number of the challenges that are made by either the campaigns or the candidates the board has to consider. But anyhow, once those three things are done, we believe that our work is done.
I guess you get the numbers from local election officials rejected as two boards that are longer.
We got a spreadsheet that maybe had 55 units of government, some were counties, some were cities. On average, they were about 13%, and so we applied the 13% number to the 12,000. So these are really rough estimates, but the only point was because the canvassing board wanted to know was it 50, 500, 5,000, and what was determined was it wasn't 50 or 500, but it wasn't 5,000, it was somewhere in that 1,000 or 2,000.
Yeah, the dates again, the proposed order that you
yeah. The morning of the 30th, 9 to 10, we will address any lingering disagreements on the suggestions by the two campaigns that some of the spreadsheet was at typos or were mistakenly allocated. If there are any questions, we'll handle those very quickly because it's easy to do. Then we will take the whole spreadsheet and review it and approve it as a whole. And then we'll take the spreadsheet as if it's corrected in any way whatsoever and incorporate it into the overall report from the recount so that we will have, by the end of that meeting, a final number on the recount prior to the decisions that will be taken on the absentee ballot or anything else that the Supreme Court wants us to look at. And then afternoon of the 5th, 2 to 5:30, we will take up results from the absentee ballot count that were not challenged. We'll take up the challenges and we will kind of do the normal process of allocating those. And we'll take up whatever we're instructed to by the Supreme Court. And then we've also set aside the same time on the 6th to continue that process.
So when do counties have to get that information?
You know, sorry. They have to write in our office by the 2nd, and we have to count them by the 4th. But let me just say that is a proposal to the Supreme Court made by the two campaigns, our office, and some of the county officials. It will be for the Supreme Court to decide if they will alter the order or not. Otherwise, the order stands, and people's privacy will be violated, and nothing we can do about that. I don't know. We have really good momentum on cooperation right now. I feel great about that. The fact that everybody's on this goal to change the Supreme Court is a really good sign. I think you hear the message from the State Canvassing Board of encouraging cooperation and collaboration. So, but that's all we know. That part would be up to the Supreme Court, so I don't have any way to take that. It's about 150 deployment campaigns to turn about, and about 300 or something, ranking campaigns. I don't really know what the Supreme Court will do, but it's something in that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never talk about the horse race, and I don't know if I can speak for others, but the idea that when you begin a recount, that it's not like a horse race where on the back turn one person is ahead and like that. Every recount, you only have one number, and that's the final number. And the day-to-day activities that are worth tracking are how close are you to being done, are you on time, that kind of thing. But I think I've been spectacularly unsuccessful in arguing against reporting on horse race. I'm good at finding really, really confused about how accurate our final number would be when I asked the other four to join in signing it. Within our human capacity and within the laws that we operate in, that's what they can't support that final number is going to be good.
And your sense is, as soon as you can certify, it's going to go ahead.
Yes. If the stars align in terms of number of challenges, number of absentee ballots, Supreme Court additional jobs that they might clear in saying our top priority is accuracy and transparency, and the timing thing is just not our issue. And, you know, I want to put an underline. We don't care as long as it's accurate and we've done it in a transparent way. We don't care when, you know, when this is done. But we are busy people, and the judges and justices have people's lives in their hands that have, you know, important things to do. I have things to do. And so we are moving ahead, I would say, in a careful and thoughtful way, but we are not getting ahead of ourselves in terms of timing. We're just trying to take it one step at a time and meeting as often as we can based on the information that we know that we'll get.
Between now and the 30th, is there anything new?
Well, we have to reconcile the, it's a great word used today, and I really can't consider it, potentially corrections that the campaigns have suggested in terms of typos in the spreadsheet, working with the campaigns and the local election officials to initiate and to record the process of determining wrongly corrected and getting those in shape to get to us, and preparing our process for opening and counting on the 2nd, and getting the campaigns in giving the notice of the victory to do their challenges, and getting our procedures in place so that the meeting on the 30th can really go. When we set aside an hour, that would be great.
Do you know how many ballots each campaign is saying exactly will be allocated to the spreadsheet?
Well, but I think they did say it was like in the 30s or low 40s or something. It seemed like a relatively small number, but there was a motion to sort of tell people to work it out, and then I stopped being precise. But I think you could ask them, and it's not a big number. It's relatively small. Anything else? Any other questions? Any questions, folks, on the phone? Yes. Yes. I cannot, because it's not something that we track, but on the 30th, we will have a presentation to the canvassing board of the numbers, notwithstanding the potential of a wrongly rejected absentee ballot. But I'm guessing that one of the local media people will soon, much to my chagrin, put up numbers on their website, and those are the people here are pretty good at that, and they've been doing it consistently, so I'm guessing that will happen. We won't do this until after we present the morning of the 30th. Sorry. The 30th is a one-hour meeting to basically finalize the spreadsheet of the 2.92 million ballots that were recounted, and to handle any tiny little things that have to do with typos or certain numbers. The 5th, we will have the information from the wrongly rejected absentee ballot, and we will have to consider challenges made to the decision of how to allocate those ballots, and also anything else that the Supreme Court might instruct us to do. That'll happen the 5th and the 6th. Yeah, we have meetings set for the afternoon, the 5th and the 6th. We don't know how long it'll take. Very hard to say. That would be one thing. But it's really hard to say. We don't know how many ballots will be under consideration as long as we get the absentee. We don't know how many challenges will be made. And we have no idea if the Supreme Court gives us more work to do or not. So it's just not possible to say. Yes.
So as long as you see that the absentee ballots come to your office first, and then you turn this parcel of analysis into the police, and then decide to challenge the ballot file to figure out on the 5th or the 6th.
Okay. So we asked the Supreme Court to alter their order. If they agree, but we need the counties and the candidates will have sorted through the wrongly rejected absentee ballots, and the only ones that come to us, these will be unopened. will be the ones that they agree were wrongly rejected. We don't know the exact number. We've been estimating 13% was the estimate number, 1,500. We don't know. And then they will not be opened and designated to piles until after the second they arrive. So by the fourth, they will be opened, allocated to the three piles, Coleman, Frank, and others. If either campaign disagrees with the judgment of our election officials as to the designation into those three piles, they will be challenged. The normal procedure will be used, which is that that challenge ballot comes to the state canvassing board on the 5th, and we will tackle them. And we've been doing somewhere between 50 and 100 per hour. We'll have some other business to do, so we'll do those as fast as we can.
So the campaigns are still going to have to go to the counties, or representatives from the campaign will have to go to the counties to decide which ones that they agree on.
Yep.
And the ones that they disagree on, just like the recount process comes to you. Is that?
No. It's a little more complicated than that, and actually we're kind of waiting to hear what the Supreme Court tells us. But the campaigns are also making suggestions to the counties of ones that they think were wrongly rejected that didn't show up on the first spreadsheet. But what is clear is that in the course of this week, we hope that the state Supreme Court will clarify their order so we can more carefully protect the privacy, that working with the campaigns will get the process down so that they and the counties can relatively efficiently sort out which ones to send to us, and that they can get them sent to us so they have arrived by the second, so that we can have the count done by the fourth, the challenges done by the fourth, so we can present it all to the state canvassing board meeting on the 5th. And that's about all of the structure and timeline I know until the Supreme Court actually acts on our suggestion.
Secretary Keenan, yes, based on your suggestion, are there additional avenues of challenge in this second ballot than there were? Would they challenge the validity of that ballot? And, they could challenge the base ballot.
They all have marking meaning on the ones that come to us. And then when we open them, then they'll challenge them just like normal.
And what if they disagree?
The parties that do not believe that a ballot that was identified by the local election official as a wrongly rejected absentee ballot would have to sign this little form that says, I do not agree that this was wrongly rejected because I believe it was in one of these four reasons. And then that information would also be transmitted up to us, and it would be, we will write a letter to the voter who was denied and saying your ballot is not being reported as part of this. It has been challenged as being invalid because of this reason, one of the four. And if you don't agree with that, you have the recourse of the district court and the county as a way to have an individual action on that ballot.
So the voter has to go to court?
If one of the parties does not agree that the ballot has been wrongly rejected, then the individual still has the right of recourse locally. We actually believe that we've got such great momentum with the campaigns and everybody working together now that this is not going to be a big problem, but what there always is the opportunity for an individual citizen to have another course back.
And the reverse also true that campaigns could say, I don't believe, or I believe they should be on the wrong way to check
it, but if I can... Yeah, and people would have to agree to put it on the local election.
And if they don't, would that also make sense?
Well, any one of the 12,000 people who cast ballots were rejected has the right of private action on that election.
But couldn't the campaigns bring one here that the local election official doesn't believe belongs here?
They have to have agreement on the starting point and on the ones that come to us before they get to us. So the local election official and the representative of the two campaigns, under the current order, have to agree. And this was raised in some of the conversations about if a campaign believes somebody has been wrongly rejected but it's not on the list, they need to communicate that. And so they're going to be exchanging spreadsheets that have the list so that the campaign can look and say, oh, somebody's so sure, then they have to communicate that. But if they're not agreed to go on the list and not agreed to come to us, we won't see them. But the individuals have the right of private action. It's fairly expedited at the local level, but we're mostly trying to get to the, whatever the number is that people have generally agreed we're wrong rejecting, because all ballots must be accepted that are from valid citizens, legal voters, except those that, where they're one or the four violations of the statute have occurred. So it's not going to be that controversial, but who knows? You know, we'll see in a week.
On this privacy thing, I mean, so are the local election officials going to open envelopes and then send the ballots to you, or?
So we're using the word envelope in a kind of broad sense, but there'll be no opening and counting of the ballots until they come to us. And their cumulative number will be done as a poll. This is our proposal.
So conceptually, this is the important thing I want to make sure clear. So conceptually, if someone in Scott County, there's only one person in that county, that envelope with the ballot in it gets sent to you, people are going to, you're still going to identify that as a Scott County.
Yeah. The proposal that we've made to the Supreme Court is to address that problem that you're identifying, and it's more than Scott County, it's kind of like somebody in a township. The fact that a person in a township's ballot has been potentially wrongly rejected is known due to the data privacy law. And so if in a county, at some point in time, there's a change in the number in a precinct, in the Senate race, then a person could say, oh, the number changed, this person's ballot was read, or was, then therefore their privacy about their vote would have been violated. So we're proposing that those changes that result from the opening of all of those would be reported as a group.
So how do you ID those challenges?
So the challenges come when we open the final privacy envelope. We pull out the ballot. We, as an election official here, say this ballot is Holman, Franklin, or other, because it's a Barkley, or somebody wrote their name on it, or whatever. And then they can challenge from the back of the room. I mean, they're standing there. And then it's marked challenge, and then it comes.
So it's just challenge one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, challenge one, challenge two, challenge three. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, we have to have a mechanism for saying, you know, something, challenge one, two, three. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
How much of the detail is in the motion for the court?
Not a lot of the detail, but there is an explanation of how the line of privacy is a problem. The original order says it would be reported by the precinct. So this would be a large number of people who spoke would be known to be rejecting this order.
But then how would you separate them out to the real comment and any other questions regarding the problem that you're essentially the goal is to preserve the privacy and not identify the local area, and then they get added to the seat of ballots with only a new bill?
Well, I don't think they get added to the seat of ballots. I don't think they thought through all the precincts, but we're on a very strict rule about preserving evidence in case of an contest. So one idea was to have a, I want to handle this. One idea is to just have an additional precinct. That's one idea that's suggested. This is for the court to decide. We brought to the court's attention that their order will cause the exposure and the violation of privacy of many Minnesota voters. And we've, you know, brought this to their attention, and we'd like them to make the change that will allow us to address it.
And who would actually be playing the role of the local election judges at the table?
Well, so I'm assuming that the head of the recount, which is our election official, Gary Poulter, will be the person responsible. He's the designee of the state county board, and this is on behalf of the state county.
And where will this take place?
Here in the building, someplace that you'll all know, in a room big enough to handle looking at a ballot, you know, whether it's the number of ballots. Any other questions on the phone? Thank you. Yeah. There is a draft spreadsheet, and it is available on the Secretary of State's website, and it'll get updated with whatever corrections and typo things today, later, tomorrow. So there's a draft, it's up on the website, and it will get fixed finally on the 30th after about an hour, so 9 to 10 o'clock, something like after 10 o'clock on the 30th. We'll have the corrections that are needed to make it official. So right now it's unofficial, and it's up there. Today, we made no changes, and we accepted some recommendations from the two campaigns to take a double look at some things that they think were just typo type corrections. So it's true that what's up there today is the current unofficial, and it might... Oh, that's right. And there were two previously allocated ballots where those allocations were rescinded for different circumstances, so there'll be those two, and those won't really get reflected for one. Yeah. Any other questions? Thank you.